Well, good morning. God has given us another day, beautiful day for November. And I want to make a quick announcement. I know that we were excited about going to drive through and visit Miss Betty, but River to River has been shut down on quarantine because of the COVID, and she is not going to be allowed out of her room. Which is be praying for her, because that's very hard. And so if you have her number, give her a phone call. But they will not. Her room, the window even in her room faces the garden side, so she can't even see anybody from the window side. So I just talked to them a few minutes ago, and they're not letting anybody out of the room. So. Unfortunately, we're going to have to postpone that and try it another time, and just pray this COVID stuff gets out of here. But they're under lockdown right now, so we're not able to do it today. So we'll keep trying, and hopefully next week maybe they'll get out of quarantine. But she said they're under quarantine for the next 12 to 14 days. So, be praying for her, and I tell you, it's tough. I can't imagine being locked up in my room for 14 days and not getting to see anybody. So, but anyway, we'll keep trying to do that. But remember, her birthday's coming up, I think the 27th, and she'll be 93. And so we want to celebrate that. Anyway, it's good to see everyone here this morning. I hope you've had a great day. I know it's a little bit windy, so we're going to do the best we can today. And so if you hear the wind noise in the mic, just ignore it. And but God is he is a mighty God, and I can praise him. If it's raining, snowing, whatever it is, I'm going to praise him. And so thank you for coming this morning, and we're just going to worship him today. God is really, he is good. I know we have a lot of people that are sick, and so we just need to remember them in prayer. I know Jesse has been sick, and Jesse Elkins, and she's not here today, so we need to keep her in prayer. My brother is still not well. He is very, very sick. And so I would ask for your prayers for him. And I know many others that that are just really struggling right now. And so, but we just need a move of the Holy Spirit to come on us. And a mighty God that we serve can do mighty things. And we believe that God, all things are possible through God. And so... When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and times will be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Lay
labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Amen. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm glad my name is written down. Amen. Aren't you? Amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. From your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Since veins are lost in its life-giving flow,
there's wonderful power in the blood. There is
power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood.
Would you live daily his praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is
power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is
power, power, wonder-working
power in the precious
blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we plead the blood. Lord, I know there's many sick in our community. There's many sick in our families. And so, Lord, we just ask for that power that we believe in, that power in the blood to just cover them and bring healing where healing is needed, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you again. Lord, we stand here. Lord, and we just plead to you. Lord, answer our prayers today as we honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can
only imagine
it will be like
when I walk by your side.
I can only
imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? On my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only
imagine when that day comes
and I
find myself standing in the sun.
I can only
imagine what all I would do is forever worship you.
I can only imagine.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall?
Will I sing hallelujah?
I'll be able to speak it all.
I can only
imagine.
I can only imagine. Only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Amen. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. Just take a moment and think about that right now. Just imagine what it's going to be like when we leave this world and we go home to a place where we belong. Because see, we don't belong here. We're not residents here. Our residency is in heaven. And I can just imagine what it's like.
Pray with you guys for a second. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you today, Lord. And I just feel like there's somebody out there today, Lord, that just really needs your presence today. I just pray, Lord, that you just touch all of our hearts and just fill us with your comfort and your love and your amazing glory. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Amen. God, I give you what I can today. The scattered ashes that I hid away, and I lay it all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love I say I believe. Oh, help me to lay it down. Oh. once and for all. There is victory in my Savior's loss, in the crimson flowing from the cross. Pour over me, pour over me. Yes, oh, let this be where I die, in my Lord with thee crucified, and be lifted high. Is my kingdom's fall once and for all, once and for all. Help me to lay it down, oh Lord, I lay it down, and help me to lay down, oh Lord, I lay it down. And oh, let this be where I die, and my Lord with thee crucified, and be lifted high. Is my kingdom's fall once and for all, once and for all, once and for all, once and for all.
Praise the Lord. That's so good.
Thank you, Maddie. Man, that's just perfect, perfect. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. Amen. Thank you all for being here again. I know it's we struggle with the wind and we struggle with these things, but you know what? That's okay. It's okay. God understands, and God is so good. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't do things the way we want, but I just trust Him by faith that it'll work out. It'll be right. And I just want to keep on praising Him. I want to keep on worshiping Him. I want to keep on putting my faith and trust in Him and not back down. Not the wind, not the rain, not the... I'll be like the mail guy. No wind or rain or sleet or snow. A mail's going to get delivered. Amen? And that's the way I feel about the Word of God. No matter what happens, the Word of God will be delivered. The gospel will be preached. Whether I preach it or somebody else preaches it, the gospel will be preached. Jesus said, even the rocks will cry out if His word will be heard. Amen? So, you know, if I was to ask you this morning to give me the simplest definition of a Christian, what would you think of? What would it be? What would you say if I was to ask you, give me your definition of what a Christian is? You know, the answer that I'm seeking this morning, and I know you guys are in your cars and all that, so I can't hear what you're saying, but it would be a follower of Christ, right? It would be a follower of Christ. And this message is kind of wrapping up a bunch of messages over the last few weeks that I've been speaking about being Christ-like, about, you know, being a true believer, about being unified in the body, about, you know, all these messages that I've I've been preaching about. You know, a simple definition of a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and he says to them, "Follow me." Isn't that what he says? He says, "I will make you fishers of men." And the scripture goes on to say that Jesus went along the beach or the seashore there and a little further, and he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father. They were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. In Matthew 4:19, it says, it gives a simple definition. A follower of Christ, Jesus also said in Matthew 16:24, this is what he said. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So this definition of a Christian is a follower of Christ. What does follow Christ involve? Following Christ involves becoming a servant of Christ. You know, when we look at John 12:26, he says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Man, I love that. Jesus called his followers servants also. And if you are truly striving to be a follower of Jesus, and if you are striving to be a successful follower of Christ, you must become a servant. As Christians, we should all want to be successful servants of God. You know, and how do you become a successful servant? We look at people in the job. You know, if I want to be successful at anything in life, it takes an effort. If I want to be a good ball player, then I have to put the time that it takes into being a good ball player, right? To become good at it. In anything that we do, if you're going to be good at it, you have to put the time into it. So if we're going to be good and faithful Christians, if we're going to be followers of Christ, then we have to put what it takes into it in order to become that. Amen? So the first thing that I want to talk to you about, you know, Jesus called his followers servants. And there are some steps. There are a few steps that I think it takes to become successful as a servant. And the first step is we need to develop a servant mentality. We have to know that we're servants. We have to develop that mentality. And this is the first step of becoming successful. You know, I include myself in this because I have to work out my salvation every day just like everybody else does. You know, and so we must have a mentality that says my purpose, and I preached about that. We talked about having a purpose, and we know that we have a purpose God gave us. My purpose here on this earth is to what? To serve God. I am here to serve Him. We got to realize that God is in charge. And we got to realize that we are not in charge. That is our position in life, and we must change our way of thinking. We must be centered thinking towards Him, and we need to stop thinking and focusing on us as being the center of attention, which we tend to do, right? We like to be the center of attention. The world doesn't revolve around us. Amen? It doesn't. Everything that happens in this world is not about me. It's not about you. We are here to serve God and not the other way around. Our pattern of thinking should reflect this servanthood or this servant mentality. If we look at Matthew chapter 10:24, it says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." See, we got to, you know, Let me read another translation that I read. I kind of liked it. It says, a student doesn't get a better desk than her teacher. A laborer doesn't make more money than his boss. You know, it kind of puts it in perspective. The question is who do you think you are? You're not, you know, we are not, I am not the boss of the universe. I didn't create it. I'm not the master of the world, and you know, I'm a servant of the King. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is the creator of the universe, and He set the stars in place, and He controls the universe by His power, and He's above all and in all. And at the end of time, He is the beginning of eternity, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Amen? And there's going to be a time come. You know, a successful servant will reflect this type of thinking. A successful servant will give their time and resources and energy and money and expertise or knowledge to glorify God. Jesus becomes the center of a servant's actions and the center of our motives. And when we become servants, the purpose for our living will be nothing more than to please Him. That's why we come here on Sundays. It should be the reason why we come. It should be the reason why we do anything. There'd be a reason why we pay our tithes. Is why? Not to please anybody else. It's not, you know, I'm thankful for what we have. But it should be only from the heart of pleasing God. Only. The servant's purpose for living is to please Him. A successful servant, as successful servants, we give all that we have to glorify God. That's our purpose. That's who we are. The second step is we have to have a determination to serve. You know, Paul talks about being zealous. He said, I was zealous once, but for the wrong reason. I was zealous for the law, but I'm zealous for Christ now. We have to, you know, it says, do not lose your fervor. Do not lose your first love, the Bible, the Scripture talks about. We have to have this determination to serve. You have to want to serve. And not just saying, I think I'd like to help out, but no, I'm helping out. Your heart speaks. It is not enough just to have a servant's mentality. You must be determined to serve. You must be determined to help. I'm making sense this morning. We have to be zealous for Him. He was zealous for us. He was determined to do what had to be done so that even when we were still sinners, He died for us. He was determined. He had a purpose. He saw it through. It's what He asks of us. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 4, it says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you all the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for favor and participation and support of the saints. They gave everything, is what he's trying to say. The churches in Macedonia, they had an awesome determination to help, and nothing was going to keep them from helping. Not the affliction that they were suffering, not the poverty that they found themselves in. They were determined to help. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It's not about your physical ability. It's not about your financial status. It's about your determination to serve. And God blesses you with that. You know, we all can help in many ways. You know, I've found in life that there's three types of givers. The first type of giver is those who give because they can. They have an abundance and they give out of their abundance. The second type of givers are those who are able to give but don't. They have enough to give, yet whatever reason they don't give. Maybe it's because they haven't taken the first two steps we talked about this morning. They still have that me-centered attitude and rather than a Christ-centered mentality. But the third type of giver is those who give, who have very little, but give in a way, they give what they have. They give sacrificially. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and 44, it says, sitting across from the temple treasury. Wind's blowing here. Jesus watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came and dropped into the tiny coins worth very little, two mites. He told his disciples, he said to them, I assure you, this poor widow put more than all those giving in the temple treasury. For they have gave out of their surplus, but she gave out of her poverty. She has put everything she possessed, all she had to live on, she gave it all. You know, Jesus recognized when we sacrifice, when we're sacrifice givers, and if you want to be a successful servant, you must develop a determination to help. It's not always financial. Sometimes it's our physical labor. And sometimes it's being there. We have to give our energy and our resources. We have to give ourselves. And the Scripture said God loves a cheerful giver. It's cold. I'm having trouble speaking today. We have to have a determination to help. Amen. Number three is we have to commit to following God. We have to commit ourselves to it. Just like we commit ourselves to the church, and every one of us sitting here today is following someone or something. Some of us listen to friends' advice, and others listen to the opinions of the so-called experts, and I'm telling you this morning, don't listen to the news. Some of us listen to family. You know, we have family customs and traditions and all these things, and you know, but we don't follow the social norms. We don't follow the things of this world. We got to follow God. A successful servant follows God. I didn't mean to throw that in there about listening to the news. Well, yeah, I did. I just come out. Sorry. It's crazy. You know, what does it take to follow God? It's simple. Do what He says. That's what we have to do. The Bible talks about that. The key point is we have to, in order to be a successful servant of God, we have to do what the Scripture says. We believe in the Scripture. We take it by faith that it's right. In James 1:22, he says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We have to do what it says. One other translation says, don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Huh. To follow involves three things: trust, obedience, and risk. You know, you remember the story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. I'll tell you the story, and it says, it also It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, and to a third, $1,000, depending upon their abilities. Then he left right off, and the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant with the $2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment, and his master commended him. He said, "Good work. You did your job. From now on, be my partner." And the servant, given $1,000, said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best of and make no allowances for error, and I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found, I dug a hole and I found a hiding place and I secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have to invested the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the $1,000 and give it to the one who risks the most and get rid of this and play it safe. You know, I kind of told that in a different way, but yet it has the same meaning. He's saying whoever doesn't really go out on a limb for him, he says, throw him out into the darkness. Throw him out. I don't need him. A successful follower will trust that God is in charge. He'll obey God's work and he'll walk in faith. Walking in faith takes risks, and it does. I'll move on to the fourth step. Start serving where you are. We don't have to be on a foreign mission field. We don't have to be somewhere other than where you're at. It could be right in your own family, right here in this community. We have to start serving where we are. There's a lot of people waiting where I'm not called to the mission field. It's not what I'm called to do, but yet that is your purpose. If you're a Christian, then you're a follower of Christ. And if you're a follower of Christ, then you're going to do what he says. And if you do what he says, go and make disciples. That means we serve where we're at. Now, some he does call to go into the mission fields and far away, but we have to save who's around us first and then move out. Amen? We have to take care of our community and take care of our families first and then move out. The minute we start meeting the needs of people in our community, the minute we start bringing the gospel to people in our community, is the minute we become a servant. Matthew 25 says this. It's quite a bit of scripture, but I love to read. "When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep into his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Enter in who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why: I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? And when did we ever see you sick and in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the truth. Whatever you did to one of these things, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me, and you did it to me. Then he will turn to the goats and the ones on his left, and he will say, Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal, and I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, and I was homeless, and you gave me no bed, and I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help? And he will answer them, I'm telling you the truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. And those goats will be herded into their eternal doom, but the sheep's to their eternal reward. Man, that really speaks to me. Because as a follower of Christ, we can't overlook the ignored. And we have communities full of people who are ignored and overlooked. And I say this over and over again. There's many times we walk past people in Walmart, and we walk past people in this community that are going to hell, and we walk right past them and don't even take time to say hi or thank you. We see people who are homeless, people who are hurting, people who need Jesus in their life, and they're easily ignored. This is what the church is for. We're here not to ignore, but it comes down to the individual. We make up the body of Christ, all of us together. If you notice, the one group were successful servants and the other weren't. Successful servants serve. They serve where they are because that's their nature. If you take on, if you want to be like Christ, and I talked about that Wednesday, if we're going to be like Christ, then we have to do what Christ did. And what did Christ do? He didn't ignore people who were hurting. He didn't ignore people who were sick, who were lost. The same is true for us. The simple rule is, if you want to find good workers, find people who are working. Amen. Successful servants, we'll serve where we are. Like I said, we don't have to go halfway around the world to serve. We can serve right where we are. Right here today. In your everyday life. In Anna, Illinois. It's a mission field right here in Anna, Illinois. There's a great mission field right here. There's thousands of people here that don't go to church. I think they said our average attendance in Union County alone is about 3,800 people on a Sunday morning. I know that number's probably off right now because of this COVID thing. But the average attendance on a Sunday morning is about 3,800 people, and the average population of Union County is almost 17,000. It doesn't take much to do the math. There's a lot of people not going to church. Jesus is looking for servants who serve. And someday I want Jesus to say these words to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." I want to hear those words from Him. I want to hear Him say, "You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy with your master." I hope you want to hear Jesus say those words to you. You know, one of these days we all have to stand before Him. One of these days our life will be over. And it's short. It goes quick. He just wants us to serve while we're here to the best of our ability in whatever way we can. We have to be determined. We have to have a servant's mentality. And we have to commit to following God by doing whatever He says and start serving today right where we are. This world doesn't want us to do that. It tries to obscure everything and say that you don't have to do that. But I'm telling you, the Scripture tells us this is what God's looking for. This is what He's looking for. And I just encourage you today to just seek Him and you'll find Him. And let Him tell you those words which He's already spoken. Follow me. Follow me. Right where you're at. Right where you're at. Don't ignore people. People need Jesus just as bad as you do. People need Jesus just as bad as I do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You. Lord, I praise You. This windy, cold morning in Anna, Illinois, Lord, I just ask for Your holy presence to stir the hearts. Set us on fire, Lord, so that we can go and serve You to the best of our ability. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of the Word. We want to be doers of the Word. And we want to see and not ignore. We want to give. And we want to love. Lord, I praise You. I thank You. Lord, let us always leave better than we came. And I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. I know my mom is going to come. I know it's kind of awkward, but my brother's been very, very sick. And my mom wanted us to pray. She's got a handkerchief. And we're going to pray over this handkerchief. So you can pray right where you're at. If you feel like you can come out, we'll put our masks on. But I'd like to gather around and pray over this handkerchief that my brother would be healed. Amen. Okay. Maybe a little loud. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. just have it. Amen. Amen. I'll wait for Jim to get up here. My brother's been sick for about 14 days now, and he's been really sick. It's really, really bad. Okay, I'm just going to... Lord, sometimes our words are... We don't know what to say, but our hearts are crying out to you, Lord, that we ask for healing. We just ask for you to bring healing, Lord. Lord, our hearts are hurting for the sick, and Lord, my brother's sick. Lord, and I know that you can heal. I know you're the mighty healer and the great physician, and I know that through the for the power that you can give, Lord, it's not my power, it's by your power. And so, Lord, you command, you tell us to bring the sick, and to anoint them, lay our hands on them. Lord, that's what you say, and you'll heal them. That's what you tell us to do. So, Lord, our hearts are crying out for your Holy Spirit to move here this morning. Lord, we anoint this handkerchief. Lord, let your holy presence go with it. And when it's laid upon him, that your holy power will heal him. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the great healer. We thank you. We believe it's going to be done right now. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. It's done. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers. Continue to pray for those who are sick. Amen. Thank you all again for coming. Amen. Love you.